here was a group of sheep, a flock of sheep, as well as a shepherd. And at 5 years old, I'm looking at that and I'm awestruck because I've never seen sheep before, maybe in a picture, and I saw the sheep and I saw the shepherd, and that picture is still in my mind. You know, there's something very special about that. And as we know, sheep and shepherding is a very important part of the Jewish culture, and we're going to be learning about that. And one of the things that I want to bring out is the first mention of sheep comes from Genesis 4:2, and this is what is said. And again, she bore his brother Abel, and now Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain a worker of the ground. So this is really the first reference of sheep. Again, setting us up to understand that with the Jewish culture, sheep and shepherding is a very important part of who they are. Now, some scholars believe that a sheep or a lamb was literally mentioned even earlier. Again, this is just a sort of a calculated guess. But when God gave Adam and Eve and clothed them with leather or with clothes of animals or the skins of animals, many scholars believe that those skins were actually either a lamb or a sheep. Again, that's a speculation. But again, we see the first mention of sheep right here as Abel was a keeper of sheep. Then we have a first reference to a lamb. And this happened when Abraham was asked to take Isaac out. And basically what God was doing, saying to Abraham that I want you to sacrifice Isaac. Okay, he was literally testing Abraham to see his loyalty. And a beautiful story, because Abraham would have never have done this at the beginning stages of his life or the beginning stages of wandering into the wilderness or into different parts of the world. But here he had an opportunity where God said, I'm going to test you. I've grown you, so you're going to take your son and you're going to sacrifice him. And Isaac literally said, hey, Dad, we're over here by the offering. You know, where is the lamb? You know, and I'm pretty sure Abraham was struggling with that. But he went ahead and followed through, and God prevented him from sacrificing his son and instead brought him a ram instead. So we got that first reference to a lamb in Genesis 22:7. Then we have in Genesis 48, we have a reference to God as the shepherd, the first time here. Again, the Hebrew people, the Jewish people, knew what it was like to be around sheep. They knew what a shepherd was. And again, the shepherd here was a person who truly loved his sheep. And we're going to learn more about this because Jesus Christ becomes the model of what a shepherd is. He is called the good shepherd because of his love for the sheep. And we see this right here where now God is showing them and is revealing himself as a shepherd. And this is what was said as we read earlier. The God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has been my shepherd all my life long to this day. They knew the importance of a shepherd. They knew the responsibility of a shepherd, and they saw God as this loving shepherd that took care of them. And then we have one of the best psalms, and we know this by heart, Psalm 23. And the first thing that we hear is, the Lord is my shepherd. Again, a reference to God and the way that he cares for us, the way he loves us, the way he protects us, the way he nurtures us. A beautiful way of understanding who God is. You know, there has been many talks sometimes from people that really don't know the Old Testament. And sometimes they'll say, well, the God of the Old Testament is a really hard and harsh God. He's always vindictive. Well, now, I don't know where they get that. Because if you know the Old Testament, you will see that God is a loving, gracious, and merciful God. And one of the best ways that it's brought out is in Psalm 23. Now, again, we're sitting back and going, shepherd sheep. What does it mean to have a relationship with sheep? And we're getting a better picture of it. Matter of fact, we're going to be seeing it here with Jesus Christ. But it's hard for us to understand that. And one of the best ways to maybe understand this, and I want to do this respectfully, is with our pet animals. You know, and one of the better ways is understanding the sheep were like pets. They were like a dog. Now, I share that because I want to talk about David here a bit. Because David and Brenna, they love their dogs. They have close to 30 dogs, and they love to sled them. They like to care for them. And it takes a lot to care for those dogs. But also, there is a special bond that they have. An amazing bond, a bond of love, a bond of friendship, a bond of safety and security that has to be nurtured in that in order that for the dogs to trust David and Brenna as they take him out into the wilderness. So there is some type of understanding that we may have about how important sheep and lambs are to a shepherd. Very important. It's an important part of the economy of the Jewish, in the Old Testament, of the Jewish people, as well as the New Testament. Then we get to Jesus. Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. And when people heard that, they understand what it means for Jesus to be a Good Shepherd. They know the role of a shepherd. Now, in my community, the church that I was at, we've had a lot of people that were farmers and ranchers. And within the community of believers, they were well respected because they knew the hard work it took into caring for the land, raising crop, raising cattle. They knew what it looked like. And these people were people that were well respected, and they were looked to leadership many times because they have an awesome understanding of responsibility. So the same way, when people hear about the Good Shepherd, they immediately know what this is about. And let me share with you again how Jesus is described in John 10. I am the good shepherd, the good shepherd. This is Jesus saying himself. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. We see this. Christ gives up his life. But more importantly, people knew that a shepherd literally will lay down his life for protecting the sheep. They have such a strong love and connection. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. He just runs away. He doesn't care. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he's a hired hand and cares nothing for the sheep. I'm the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. Just as the Father knows me and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. Again, when they're hearing this, they know exactly the relationship that a shepherd has with a sheep. They know it, they feel it, they experienced it in their community. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there'll be one flock. Again, reminding the importance of a shepherd, we shepherds have this flock, but they're always bringing more people in. There is a process of folding the sheep into older sheep, into an older type of flock. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason, the Father loves me because I lay down my life that I may take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down on my own accord. I have authority to lay it down, and I have authority to take it up again. This charge I've received from my Father. So we have this wonderful picture of what a shepherd is. Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd. It's explained in the gospel. But something takes place here. Something takes place in which God now is building up the church. We see that in Acts. We see the empowering of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit filling people and starting the church. And suddenly the church is growing. But also he provides leadership for the people. Very important. And we see this, and Paul reminds us again who these leaders are. Ephesians 4. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers. The proper, again, the translation is shepherd from the Greek. And again, he tells us there are five important leaders that help build up the church. These are people with great responsibilities. An apostle, okay, a modern-day apostle is like a missionary that goes out into a mission field and establishes churches. And they do, they establish churches, they plant churches, and that's what an apostle does. And he overlooks, or she overlooks, those churches that were planted. Then you got the prophet. The prophet is a person who speaks for God, who stands up and says, God says this. And there's times there are prophetic voices, but mostly this person is able to sit there and say, this is what God is saying, this is right, this is wrong, because of God's word. A very strong person that reminds us of the authority of Scripture as well as God's rule in our life. Then we have the evangelist. These type of people, I have a friend who is an evangelist. He is so good at sharing the good news of Jesus Christ. He just does this on a regular basis. And it's amazing how people receive him because of his ability to do that. We know one great evangelist, one of my greatest heroes, Billy Graham. He had a way. He was anointed. And when he spoke very simply, but he spoke in a way, because he was anointed to be an evangelist, that people heard, and God used his words to speak to the hearts of those people. So there are evangelists out there. Then you got the shepherds and the teachers. The teachers are the ones, are different than the shepherds, but they come in, they have great knowledge, they're able to bring God's word together and teach God's word, but also using God's word in a way that affects your life, in your marriage, in your parenting, in your business. A teacher is able to bring in that type of lessons and learnings to you to help you. But a shepherd is a person who cares and loves the sheep. He shepherds the sheep. It's a personal relationship. And so we see this, and he says, the reason why we have these leaders, because we're in a process of building up the church. Not only building up the church, but protecting the church. Okay? And you'll hear this in this passage here. It says right here, to equip the saints for the works of ministry, for the building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may be no longer children. One of the goals that God wants us to go is for us to grow up. And that's an important process that God gives us. And God gives us leaders to help us grow up. Just like parents and teachers, they are in the process of helping us, enabling us to grow up, to be people that are responsible and are able to care for themselves, so that we may be no longer children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about every wind of doctrine by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitfulness schemes. Again, speaking the truth in love. Again, what Paul is saying is that there is a lot of stuff out there that Satan uses to destroy us. And we know that Satan loves to deceive us, loves to bring division, loves to bring discord into a church. And one of the best ways is through deceitfulness, through cunning, through craftiness. And one of the things that leaders do, they're very, very aware of this. You know, they're very aware of that, and they know the importance of looking out for that and protecting the people. So that is right there. We got one situation where we have the Good Shepherd in the New Testament. The second, we have the shepherd referred as a part of the fivefold ministry. And then, where is that word shepherd again in New Testament? So First Peter brings it out, and this is what Peter says. So I exhort the elders among you as fellow elders and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, as well as the partaker in the glory that is going to be revealed, shepherd the flock of God that is among you. Now, God is saying that there are shepherds. He's reminding those people out there that are in leadership that you are to shepherd those people. Again, when they heard that, they knew that concept. They knew that dynamic. They knew what a shepherd does. They know that the shepherd loves his sheep. It's a responsibility. So this morning, we're going to help understand, God is going to help us understand what a shepherd is, what a pastor is. A shepherd is one who loves God's people. That is the underlining message here. The shepherd is one who loves God's people. And that's a huge responsibility when it comes to ministry. So one of the first things that he does in loving you, he knows you. He's in a process of knowing you. He's in a process of getting with you, whether it be lunch, whether it be in situations that's with meals, whatever it is, he's in the process of taking time to know you, to know your story. We heard Jeff this morning about his story. And that's so important for us as Christians to hear our stories, and we don't share it enough. But what a pastor does, he looks for opportunities to know you. He will talk to you. He will connect with you. He'll ask you, what's going on with your life? Where are you at with this situation? Tell me about the prayer that you said last week. How are you doing at your work? How is your family life? He's always, 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 the pastor, is looking to know you, to connect with you. That's so important. The more that he knows you, the more that you feel connected with him. So that process is very, very important, and he does that. Anytime he says, hey, let's go to Chino Hot Springs, say, yeah, go with him for an hour, 2 hours, because guess what? You'll get to know a person in the car. Some of the best times that I got to know people is just riding in the car for a distance. But the shepherd is always looking to know you better. That's one of his responsibility. Another thing about a shepherd does, the way he loves you, he nurtures you. He knows that the bread of life, God's word, is imperative. In order for you to grow, in order you to be mature, you need to hear God's word over and over and over again. He takes great care in preaching. He makes sure that he's led by God's Spirit to preach the sermon and allow those words to speak for God. So given the sermon, teaching, not only that, getting to know you as a pastor, we're looking for opportunities for you to hear the word by me encouraging you. When I talk to people, I'm looking for ways, how can I bring God's word into that person's life? Because the word is the very thing that that person feeds on, and that's where a person grows. So he'll look for opportunities. He encourages you to know God more intimately. He also, a pastor that loves you, David, will protect you. That's a part of the shepherd. He'll protect you. One of the things that's very, very important in a church is joy. Joy is one of the most important parts of a church. Joy is this feeling that things are well. There's no discord. There's no division. And we look for that. And we look to make sure, is there joy in this person's life? How can we encourage that person to look at God and to enjoy whatever God is bringing them through? So we look at this situation. We look at, how is the joy factor in this church? If there's no joy, then we know there's discord. We know there's division. And we have to deal with that. And one of the things that we have to do is we have to confront that. That's what a shepherd does. If there is a person, if there are people in here that is causing discord or division, the shepherd has to confront that. Because if not, it becomes the very fire, the very virus, the very poison that can rob the joy of the church. So protecting that joy, knowing that the evil one, not just evil, but the evil one, a personified evil, wants to destroy this church, wants to divide this church, wants to bring discord in this church. And as a pastor is sensing this. A pastor is looking for this. A shepherd is looking for that because they have to be on top of it. And they pray diligently. They pray for the church. They pray for God to bring in joy, bring in peace, bring in what is necessary for this church to grow and protect it. But also, the pastor protects you from the culture, the world out there. And that what it means is he's able to stand on God's word when it comes to the very hard things in life. The culture truly throughout the Old Testament, throughout history, has always infiltrated the Old Testament people, the Jewish people, as well as the New Testament. We find ourselves settling in and we're allowing for the culture to shape us and to mold us. And suddenly we're doing things that the culture wants us to do. We take on those types of values, those types of mores, and a pastor is aware of that. And so the pastor is always ready to defend the values that God gives us, to affirm the sanctity of marriage, to partner the importance of partnering with women, and that women are equal within the church and with the body here. And we partner with them. Against segregation, knowing that no matter what ethnic group, no matter what color you are, where you're coming, we do not segregate. We don't make racial claims. We look at everybody as a part of the family of God, and we protect that. We look for that, and we welcome people of all different types. A shepherd has to have that type of attitude, because people know, okay? Supports and defends the sanctity of life from the unborn to the disabled to the older generation. He protects that against classism. And we find ourselves, you know, putting ourselves at this class. No, we're all a part of God's family. And the shepherd is very, very careful to defend those people and protect them and to encourage where you're at in life. Important part of a shepherd. He builds up the body. He gets to know the new people. When new people come in, the pastor is looking for opportunities to connect. How can I connect? And how I enfold them into this body here, because a lot of us right here are already connected to your friends and family. But how do we get new people connected to you? So we're looking for ways to make sure the family, the flock, is connecting and becoming a flock. Not little flocks, but big flocks, one big flock. And as we heard that, Jesus said, we bring everything together for one flock. So, enfolds in the family, encourages you. He recognizes also that your gifts, you have gifts, you have something to bring to this body. So he encourages you, he says, please, how can you connect with the body? How can you be part of this body? How can I use your gifts, your talents? And he's looking for opportunities to enable you, to help you to be a part of this body. So we have all that. So that's what a shepherd does, and that is a lot of stress and a lot of work. It's huge responsibility. You know, he just doesn't sit there on a, you know, 20 hours a week just working on a sermon. I mean, there's so much involved in shepherding. So please understand the enormity of his responsibility. That's important. If you don't understand that, then we really don't know how to care for a shepherd. And let me share with you, how can you care for a shepherd? You need to know him. You need to take time to know him. It's really important. Shepherds get lonely. So get to know him. Ask him out for lunch. Ask him out for some type of meal. Hey, let's play. Let's do something. Let's go for a ride. Let's have some fellowship. Take the time to get to know David. He needs that from you. That's the way you care for him. One of the greatest misconceptions about pastors, that we are too busy. I hear that so many times. Pastor Peter, I know you're so busy. I know you're so busy. Well, please, no, we're never, ever, ever, ever busy for people and members of the church. And we'll drop everything. Study, administrative duties, you just say, hey, let's talk. We'll take the time to talk and get to know you. So please, become a friend. It's hard, but some of you will become a friend to David as time goes on. So don't overlook that beautiful gift. Nurture him. Make sure he takes time for study leave. He needs nurturing. Support that. Prayer and meditation. There are times he needs to pull back and he needs to pray. Make sure that you support that. Because when he's praying, when he's meditating, when he's studying, he's giving. He's storing up those reserves so they can give more to you. Also, rest time. Protect his rest. One of the greatest things that happened to Pastor is an overwhelming amount of stress. I've witnessed and seen so many pastors that have left the ministry that have been broken because of stress and no rest. Make sure you protect his rest. Make sure on his day off, you protect that rest. If you see him weary, if you see him filled with stress, go alongside of him. Love him. Care for him. Provide him the time that he needs to rest. It is a God-given mandate for all of us to rest. So please do that. Protect him. Again, Satan wants to divide and discord and provide discord. And one of the best ways to do that is to mess up your pastor. When you hear anyone slandering your pastor, if you hear anyone disrespecting your pastor behind his back, you hear anything like that, you protect him. You stand up for him. You say, hold, that, don't do that to my pastor. You may not know what's going on, but to say bad things, to say disrespectful things, to slander my pastor, do not let that happen. Protect him from those people. Please, and respect him. And for those people that lose respect for a pastor, try to work it out. Work it out. That is God's call for you, to work it out. Get with that person. Talk to that person. Work it out. Provide that respect. Because if you don't respect your pastor and you can't do that, then I'm asking you to leave. Because it doesn't turn around. And all this disrespect does is provide discord and division, because you're going to poison other people because of it. So please consider that. So please, if you have that, work with the pastor. Respect him. Protect him. Don't let people slander him. Don't let people provide any type of way to divide him from others. Please look at that. Please consider that. And build up the body. Build up the body. Bring in more people. We're the ones that bring in sheep. Encourage and challenge. Let him encourage and challenge you. Let him sit down and say, hey, what are your gifts? What are your talents? How can I bring them to you? How can I help you to be a part of the body? So, and I shared this earlier. I know that some of you might have a problem with this. But when in certain areas of the world, we give people titles. We call a professor at a university. Because it's not so much a title which is, look at me, it's a title of responsibility. It allows everyone to know what that person's responsibility is, a doctor. So you may have a hard time with this, but please consider calling David your pastor, Pastor David. I know it's going to be hard, but it's a reminder of the responsibility. It's a reminder of what he went through to get to where he's at. So please consider that. And lastly, I'll share this. The way you love David, the way you care for David, is you need to love Brenna, his wife. You need to love Brenna. You need to care for her. You know, we look at the pastor, we understand some of the stress that that pastor receives and the stuff that he goes through, but talk to a pastor's wife and what they go through. So I want you to care for Brenna. Where's Brenna? Care for her. Love her. You know, one of the best ways to love her is allow her for to grow. She has ministry. She already knows her ministry. So we have these caricatures, these expectations of what a pastor wife should be. Throw those out. No. Brenna has her ministry. She knows her gifts, and support her for that. And love her. And get to know her. And support her. That's how you care for the pastor, is caring for their spouses. So, I'll end with this. David is your shepherd. This is not me. This is not my doing. It is God has chosen David to be your shepherd. He is your shepherd. 21st of May is going to be awesome. You're all going to be here, and you're going to have special people coming together, and they're going to sit there, and they're going to give charges to David. He's got certain vows. They're going to pray and lay hands on him. It's going to be a glorious day in David's life. Be a part of that celebration. Remember, it is God who made David a shepherd. It is God who called David to be a shepherd. And David, you are a shepherd. We just don't walk around thinking, no, I'm not a shepherd. No, it's a responsibility that's heavy, heavy, heavy. But also there's so much blessings to it. Because a shepherd, a pastor, is not a professional position. Remember that. It's a relational position. There was a time where pastors were professionals. They do their stuff, and they stay away from the people. That's a terrible model. A shepherd is a person who loves his sheep, who gets to know them and encourage them and do whatever he can to help you. David is your shepherd. Do I hear an amen?
Amen.
Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for the gift of leadership. We thank you for the call they've given us. And I know there are people here that are going to be called one day themselves to be a pastor, to be a missionary, but especially called to be an elder or a deacon. And Father, we thank you for that call. We know it's David, he's not the only person who's a part of the leadership, but he has an important part as a shepherd. So I pray for your hand to be upon him, and I thank you for, again, giving us shepherds. We pray this in your son's name. Amen.